Rather shock to death on greatness than starve on mediocrity. Hello, welcome to Look at the Adjective. We ain't here to podcast. We got filled in outside our tour bus. I am the head of the table, John Mack, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who has the worst tasting waistcoats the world has ever seen. A man who will always refer to you as boy, no matter how old you are. A man who overshadows me on every single pod. The penultimate boss, the Richmond Bull, Mark Crowther. How are you, mate?
Not bad, mate. I've been compared to worse. I'll take the rock. Why not? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah,
it's not Conan, is it? You
know? Conan.
Or Pentagon or Superstar Billy Graham this week. So you've done all right.
Done better. Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you doing? WrestleMania week?
Not too bad. Week off, lovely.
Belting. Enjoyed it.
Watched Raw. Yeah, not too bad. Kids up, so, you know, could be worse.
Yeah, bit of Vietnamese dong.
Oh, yeah. I had a Vietnamese meal this afternoon. A succulent Vietnamese meal. And
it had far too much manifest.
Yeah, far too much coriander in it for me. It was a bit much. But the seafood spring roll was pretty tidy.
Lovely.
Well, they won't let me pay in dong, Mark. They just
pissed off. They haven't got a big enough till to store all that in.
And that's a fucking Ho Chi Minh will be turning in his grave. I'm telling you.
Well, we've got a little bonus episode today, haven't we?
We have. What we thought we'd do, seeing as we usually do a little Mania review, we thought we'd do a Mania preview because we've been a bit missing in action the last 2 months. We just put out the go-home show to Super Brawl. We have recorded Super Brawl. That's in the bag. That will be out after our little Mania week. And we're going to get this out to you probably Friday, the day before Mania.
Yeah.
You know, editing and malfunctioning software permitting. So, yeah, we thought we'd go through the card and see what we think, how it's going to be, because the build-up to a lot of it has been pretty decent.
Yeah. It's been some good stuff.
But first, we'll go through it. Yeah, first, we've got no credit this week because it's a bonus, but we have got a little talking point. Old Ariel Helwani, former Cretin of the week.
Yeah.
Had old Philip Brooks on his show the other day. And boy, was he open and honest.
I didn't even know he was going on it. I just sort of flicked YouTube on and I saw live stream CM Punk and Rhea Ripley, and I thought, well, he's probably only on it for 5 minutes, just promoting like Mania or something. And then I turned it on and I also saw all these clips on Twitter and or X, if you want to call it that these days. Like him slagging everything.
I love how you did the X with your hands then, like injured in the ring.
Yeah. throw up the X. And I just thought, right, I need to see this. And it's like an hour and 40 minutes or something of just, it's like a shoot interview, isn't it? It's like a kayfabe commentary. Let's have it.
I'll be honest with you, I think it was better than that because there was no like fanfare. It was just, you ask me, I'll tell you. And what he couldn't talk about, obviously, was the Bucks and Omega Elite brawl thing because he's signed an NDA. But what was surprising, especially to me and thee, was there was no NDA for the Jack Perry stuff.
No, that was free to chat about, wasn't it? And he did.
Yeah, and people are going to say, oh, it's just he's putting his side in. Fair enough, it is his side, but he's got no reason to lie now, has he, really?
No, he seems pretty happy, doesn't he? He's gone back to WWE. He's making a fuck ton of money, probably. Obviously, it's not gone well with like his injury status, but he seems like he's happy there. And he sort of, you almost could see it. He was just like, I don't even want to talk about it. I'll talk about it though. And he's sort of like, the way he recounted it was like really similar to the way like the reports come out as well. So it's, to me, it doesn't feel like he's talking shit. And it was, to be honest, it was brilliant. It was hilarious. It was just, some of the stuff he was going on about, like where he was saying like, it's not going to work. Bringing me back, it's not going to work. Putting us on different shows, it's not going to fucking work. Just let me go. release me, pay whatever's left of my contract. And Tony Khan was like, no, we'll make it work and all this. And he's just like, and to be fair, it wasn't really disparaging to Tony Khan that much, like, apart from one little bit where he was talking about when he called him
a clown.
Yeah. But other than that, he said he's a nice guy, but he, like, everything that everyone seems to think about him, he's a nice guy, but he's not a fucking boss, is he?
No, he's a giddy wrestling fan who's got excited and has the money to his own federation. And just the volume of people he hires. It's like, oh, yeah. you're the flavour of the week, I'll hire you. And the money he's throwing around, fucking hell.
When he was talking about that Jack Perry thing, it was just brilliant. Like, this is a must watch. are you gonna deal with that, Tony? And he's like, what do you want me to do? He's like, just be a fucking boss and all this. And
yeah, because you won't like the way I deal with it, which is fair enough. But I suppose it is an alternative to WWE, though, because it's like WWE is the one where it has a structure. And if you just want to fuck about and do your own shit with your mates and not care about, you know, you're going to get guaranteed money and it's going to be stupid money. And you just got to piss about it. Don't care about how big the crowds are or whatever. And you want to, you know, get fucking filleted by a Meltzer, go to AEW.
Well, that's what he was like. And he was like, we're not in, like, it wasn't. It's not what it was sold to me as. He was saying that when he got there, after a while, he sort of quickly realised that they weren't, quote unquote, in the same business as him and others, where he's in the business of making money and getting butts in seats, and they just don't give a shit.
That's the thing, though. I mean, they've got this network TV deal, but how long until the network say, oh, it's not cutting it? I don't know, but I mean, the standards are a lot lower than they were 20 odd years ago, where if you were getting 800,000 prime time, you'd be cancelled.
Yeah, I mean, it has changed a lot, hasn't it, with how wrestling's consumed. Like, me, like, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown live. Most of the time, I'll just watch YouTube bits because they show, like, full segments and most of the stuff on there anyway. It's not necessarily always the best barometer, like the TV viewings and stuff like that, but you know, they're still not pulling up any trees, are they, with that anyway? So it's like, whereas if you look at, like, for instance, you look at Punk's debut or some of the Rock segments or like Cody stuff on YouTube now, there's millions of views. So it's different how it's consumed now, and like streaming and stuff like that. So, but he's right though, because they're not serious, they don't take things seriously, they're not interested in growing, really.
Their numbers are purely TV, though, AEW, because they don't have a streaming platform. WWE are putting, like, the Raws on the night after on YouTube, full gimmick, no ads. Do you know what I mean? So whatever they're getting on the network, then add on what they're getting on YouTube for that full Raw with no ads. You're looking, you know, 3 to 4 million.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's totally different how it's consumed, isn't it? So, to be fair, like, WWE's absolutely booming at the minute. I think I've seen something the other day where they've had like 15, 16 straight sellouts and record-breaking crowds and stuff like that. So they're in a bit of a boom period at the minute, aren't they? Well, they have been for a year or two.
I think it's the hottest it's been since the Attitude Era, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, testament to the guys that are there and Helmsley, to be fair, it's all sort of looked up since he took over, hasn't it? Apart from when Vince came back and it sort of dipped again a little bit, but
yeah,
it's exciting. And I'm sure you could tell with Punk was happy to be involved in it, to be fair.
Oh yeah. I mean, the layouts completely changed. I mean, the matches essentially are meaningless on Raw and SmackDown. Really. The matches are always saved for the pay-per-view. It's all, you know, build and promo and, you know what I mean? It's which essentially is just a variation on sort of the promo and the squash matches. It's just you get that, you know, like of the old days, you just get 20-minute promos instead of 2-minute promos now. And the matches are near enough irrelevant. You know, every single person wants to watch the pay-per-view match, though.
Got to be doing
something, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, you could see that he was it was a good interview. Like, he still had some positives to say about like his time in AEW. Like he said, he had some good stuff to say about his feud with MJF, and he always blurred the lines whether he actually liked MJF or not. So like, he was quite open in that.
I saying, think look, he does.
He's a good kid. He's a good kid, but he got mixed up in that in their shit a bit too much, which is true because he has. Yeah. But their feud was still to this day is the best thing they ever did. In my opinion.
Oh, yeah. What did he say? Head and shoulders above every anything else they were doing. So, which is true. Yeah. You can't argue with that.
It was gripping. That was when I was. It was only really because of that and one or two other things. But that was when I was really into what they were doing. Well, that's because Punk was there and he's the best about. But yeah, like, and he said he made some good friends there, like Dax, Cash, like the guys from House of Black and stuff like that. So it's not all been doom and gloom for him, but. The whole thing where he was talking about the you know, when he wasn't allowed to go into much of the NDAs, but he was like, oh well, I've never had to sign an NDA for something I did or something like that.
Exactly. So it's basically everybody knows what he did, really. I think it's just a case of they don't want people to know what they did or didn't do.
Because he also very loosely alluded to the fact that he actually got his arm injured in that scuffle, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Which some people said that he didn't, some people said he did it in the match or whatever, but he's obviously can't confirm nor deny.
No, but I think that's going to be talked about in depth on other shows.
Yeah.
I mean, let's hope, I'm going to try and get this out before Cornette does a bit on it. So.
I'll be up quickly.
Oh yeah, he's usually rapid. That guy's not that he does it, but you know, whoever does it. So, what we'll do, we'll move swiftly on to a little bit of a Mania preview. So, we'll do night one first,
yeah,
because for some reason they're doing it over two nights now, which it's more bite size than the 7-hour monolith
one night
that, yeah that
still
they were doing a couple of years
still
ago.
Quite long though, aren't they? The nights
about 3 hours, 3.5, I think,
yeah,
but so. We've got the cards up here. I think they're pretty much nailed on at the moment, unless something happens.
I don't think there's anything else really to add on from what I can see, because they've done Raw now. Yeah, I don't imagine they'll do an awful lot of heavy stuff on SmackDown. I think pretty much everything's set.
I think so. I mean, the first match we've got down here is for the Women's World Championship.
Mm.
It's Becky Lynch challenging Rhea Ripley, a favourite of my daughter's.
Yeah, and me.
You know, it's something you can bond with your child on, Rhea Ripley.
Oh, mammy.
don't make it so seedy, Mark. Fucking hell.
That's her name.
it's Rhea Ripley, or, well, apparently that's a gimmick name anyway. But the build to this, I mean, they did a bit on that Helwani show, which I thought was a bit weak.
I thought Becky Lynch was garbage in it, which is, did you not think?
It just wasn't good, and she turned up in full gimmick with the leather hat on and stuff.
But the worst bit was, turned up in full gimmick with a microphone pack on the back, so it's like so clearly set up.
Yeah.
I don't know with Becky, like she's, I've always been a fan of hers, but the last three or four months I've sort of gone off her a bit. But I just don't think they've built it very well, have they? Like they've had a couple of little interactions, but you feel like this one should have been one of the like more presented matches, but it's been a little bit flat, annoyingly.
Yeah, and it's first on the card as well, opening match, which you know.
Is that what this is?
Good opening match. Well, it is on air, but I mean, you need a good opening match, obviously.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Order subject to change, but
match quality should be good. Do you know what I mean? The two.
Oh, but corking, yeah. Corking in ring, yeah.
So hopefully it's one of them that's had a mediocre build, but a good match. Hopefully.
The way she burst in and she sort of pushed her a little bit and sort of about her daughter. And if you're talking shit about someone's daughter, you get a bit more heated.
You'd be beating the fuck out of them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it was just ironic that Punk had called Helwani a real journalist, and then he's part of this angle, so it's a bit weird. Meltzer will be on the thought of Khan going, why have I not been involved in any angles? Come on,
let's do it. Let's
get them bursting in.
Let's do Wrestling Observer Radio. Let's get someone on.
While he holds his microphone. moving on, match after that, I've got listed as the IC belt. Gunther versus Sami Zayn, which isn't apparently what we were meant to get. We're supposed to get Gunther versus Lesnar, but obviously Lesnar's in the doghouse for his indiscretions in the McMahon thing.
Isn't he back, though? Isn't he back on the roster?
I've no idea.
I mean,
don't pay that much attention.
Sami Zayn has gone from like here to like nothing in a year, and he like he's not there anymore.
He's gone mid card, isn't he?
He's lost all any momentum he had. He's just gone. Like they were doing I saw a couple of clips. He was doing like this, like Rocky style montage with Chad Gable.
Chad Gable.
I thought, not sure about that.
He's got Chad Gable as his coach, and then last night on Raw, Gunther came out, chucked Chad Gable's motionless body onto the ramp and proceeded to beat the shit out of Sami Zayn. But for me, that's like, I very much doubt Sami Zayn's winning that belt. So
I don't think he's the right man to dethrone Gunther, really.
No. And so the build's not been great. No, it's not been great because, like, the babyface isn't going to get his...
I'm not sure who does beat him. Dragunov when he comes up?
Possibly Lesnar's too obvious. You know, it'll be wet if Lesnar beats him. You can't end that.
Breaker or someone like that.
Bron Breakker would be an excellent person to beat him, I think. The next one, although it is for the undisputed WWE tag team belts, is what I like to call the filler match. It's a six-pack tag team ladder match. So we'll put a gimmick on a gimmick and let the clusterfuck ensue.
Yeah, that's they love that, don't they? They just love they did it a few years ago back, didn't they? When Hardy's came back, where it's just like lob about 20 people in a tag match and the ladders and just get anyone on the card. I mean, So it's obviously Judgment Day's defending. DIY, they're back together now, apparently. I didn't really.
Yeah, Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah, New Day, they're still knocking about. R-Truth awesome and the Miz. Yeah, the throwback. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
And, called A Town Down Under. That's what they're called.
It's quite a good name. It works.
Bit of Usher in there.
Yeah.
Peace up, A-Town.
And then it's Tyler Bate and then he's Pete Dunne again now, isn't he? Is he Pete Dunne still? He changed for years, didn't he? Butch and he was.
They're called the New Catch Republic, which is not great.
It's not for
me.
Have you heard the rumours that they want to bring the Hardys back again for this? Please don't.
Oh, Jesus, really? Neither of them can go.
I know. Jeff's probably fucking still fucked up. I haven't seen him for... When's the last time? Didn't he get his fucking head fucking caved in by Sammy Guevara?
Sammy Guevara, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm surprised he's not still concussed.
Probably is. He's probably... This is the problem, though. He ends up getting all these mental injuries, and then he gets on the Persian rugs to cope with the pain, and then he ends up in shit again.
Yep. Yeah, it's I think we should just leave that Hardy Boys thing now. That's done now. Come on, guys.
Yeah, they've made the money though. I mean, Matt Hardy, I'd say get into being an agent or something, but he has some fucking batshit ideas, doesn't he? So,
and he's a prick.
And Jeff Hardy just needs to go back to making his dog shit music and his poetry that he does. Hardy. Them ones. Dreadful. Next up, we've got Brother versus Brother for the third time on a WrestleMania, I think.
Yeah. What was it?
Jay versus Jimmy Uso. So we've had Bret Owen.
Yeah. Hardy.
And we've had
speaking of them.
Hardy. Sadly, we never had Cody Dustin, which would have probably been a lot better than Hardy.
They wanted to, didn't they? There was a big thing about it. I remember them saying they were desperate to do the match at Mania, but just never came to fruition.
Never transpired. And I can't imagine it happening now.
No. So,
But this has got a needle, you know, it's got a story behind it.
It's been built for a while.
Yeah, they're a bit spotty for my liking, the Usos.
I like them. I think they're quite good.
Not mind them, but, you know, more super kicks than a Young Bucks match.
Yeah, but at least there's a bleak story to tell in this one.
True, true. It's not just, you know, 450 fucking moonsaults and shit.
No, I think it could be quite good. I think they've talked about... I remember they were on some podcast or something. It might have been Hal Varney as well, to be fair. And they were saying they'd love to do a match between them at Mania one day, and it's coming true. So I'd imagine they'll be putting everything into it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's one of the ones I'm looking forward to on the first night.
Yeah. Next match sounds again to me like it's a filler match. Six woman tag match. We've got Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill and Naomi versus Damage Control of Dakota Kai, Asuka and Kairi Sane.
See, I'm the opposite with that. I'm quite intrigued by this match.
I think
to see what Jade Cargill's like.
Well, at the end of the day, she's in there with Bianca Belair, who's good. She's in there with Asuka, who's good. Naomi's not bad. Kairi Sane's not bad. Dakota Kai's not bad. So, you know, they've got people to lead her.
I think she'll get a big sort of moment, won't she, on Mania? That's what they're building for.
Yeah, she's going to be doing... She'll do some mad power move, something that'll get a huge pop. And she needs to be showcased in the right way, and I think it's probably the best way to showcase her. She can't.
Yeah, it's not right for a singles match, so yeah, is it?
No. So, yeah, that might not be too bad. But then next we get a bit of a grudge match. Latino World Order of Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. So obviously there is a needle there. There is a story there.
That's been thrown together a little bit last minute, that one, though, to be fair.
It has.
I thought Rey and Santos was the match, because that's been built for a while, that.
Yeah.
But maybe it's Rey can't. Maybe Rey's not confident coming back from an injury of doing a singles match yet. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe not. But, you know, there's obviously that ongoing story with Dominic being his, you know, him and Dominic feuding over the father-son thing. So, you know, there is, adding Dominic to it doesn't necessarily... It doesn't make no sense. It makes a fair bit of sense, to be fair. So you never know. I mean, Rey Mysterio's mint. Yeah, Santos is decent. Dominic, you know, he's got people in there to lead him again. But he's got a lot better, Dominic. He's a lot better than he used to be.
He's got heat for days.
Yeah. And the main event of night one is the Bloodline, the Rock and Roman Reigns, versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. So if Rhodes and Rollins win, all the members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside on night two. And if Rock and Reigns win, it's going to be Bloodline rules, which means just fucking tables, anything, chairs, all that shit. Which, yeah, they did a Bloodline rules with Solo and Rollins last night, and it was turd. So
it's just a no DQ match, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. Now, this obviously has been the biggest built thing in the last year, but sadly, all I want to see now is Cody versus The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Roman's been put to the wayside, mate.
No, he has. But The Rock's been so good since he switched heel. I mean, it's hard to not just think. It's weird because he was getting flat reactions when he was, well, not flat, but he was still getting the odd pop. But like his flat reactions when he was trying to do the old school like shtick, like the babyface stuff, like the, you know, crowd participation and all that. But since he's gone heel and he's got that nasty streak about him, people are fucking loving him, and I'm well on board of it. I think it's the right direction for him. But like you said, it's not really done Roman any good. But I think that's more about Roman's not been there. He's barely been there. That's the problem, and that's been that's the problem with him as the champion. Unfortunately,
they've gone on about his record, but he's got like the least title defenses ever or something.
Yeah, I mean, what does he defend it? 4 or 5 times a year, if that.
44 defenses in 3.5 years or something like that.
I mean, obviously defended it more when he first won it, but
Yeah.
Since he got this new deal where he's basically part time, isn't he? Spends it like every all the four or five big pay per views, and that's it.
I can't right from me doing armchair booking or trying to sort of guess where they're going to go with it. I think possibly they might do it so The Rock not fucks Roman, but
gives you that
ends
doubt.
Up Cody. Yeah, because it ends up. I reckon Cody and Rollins will win, so it's bad from the bloodline. The bloodline are bad, and The Rock sort of has a hand in it because he's like, "Well, you do this on your own show. Prove you're the tribal chief."
I think they'll have a bloodline win the first night. Personally,
you reckon?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just think, it allows for The Rock to be involved in night two and fuck Roman somehow.
And it's Cody overcoming all the odds kind of thing, ultimate babyface.
Yeah, like I think that's the way they might do it. Like I think they'll do that thing, you know, the whole thing where like Solo's got involved in so many fucking tag title matches. He's done like the Samoan Spike and he's cost people. I think they might like try and redo that spot in some way. But Cody will this time. He'll get out of it. He'll get the better of it, and he'll triumph. The only thing I'm worried about is if they're going to do like if going forward is it going to be Rock versus Roman? Is that the story? I don't want them to overshadow like Cody's moment like at the end of the show.
The Rock seems to overshadow everything, though. That's the thing. That's the problem with getting him back. I get why they're getting him back, but it's a very fine line.
He just draws attention to the product, though, doesn't he? I mean, I get
yeah,
why they do
it.
Was,
yeah.
I mean, he's.
I do. So popular. I do too.
I mean,
but,
to be honest,
you're probably right there.
To be honest, he's drawn me back to it because I wasn't that bothered about like ever since he's switched heel, like he's been really must watch stuff.
Yeah,
and like you said, it's a shame. It's a shame they didn't sort of do it earlier. Then maybe they could have had Rock and Cody. I mean, that would have been more exciting, probably.
Probably, but that's how it's been built. It's been built because Roman's not been there, as if it is Rock and Cody. And I mean, that beatdown outside the tour bus, I mean, it got a bit annoying because all he was saying to me, all he was saying was, "Oh, look at you now. Look at you now, boy. Look at you now." And I'm thinking, come on, man.
I thought it was good.
It was good. He's just repeating himself a lot. And then going around a fucking Cody crybabies. There's still bits in it where I think, bit shit, Brian Gieworks fucking bollocks. but yeah, for the most part. But I was completely fucking sacked off WWE and AEW shit. So I was kind of like, I'm a Nitro guy. That was what I was like. I'm off a Nitro. But no, it's brought me back in as well. Yeah. So yeah, maybe you're right. But there's got to be somewhere where Roman The Rock costs him.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be seeds planted for something, aren't there? Or maybe they just don't do that. Maybe they just think, right, okay, maybe we just do Rock and Cody down the line somewhere, maybe a SummerSlam or whatever. I don't know, one of these fucking Saudi shows or something like that. That'd be a bit crap.
Rock and Roman's the money, though, isn't it? It's...
Yeah, it is. It is, but I don't know, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't. When he says
directions, you can go.
Yeah, I mean, there's things they could do. I mean, the Rock and Roman thing doesn't really excite me that much. Like Rock and Cody excites me. That's the exciting thing because of the dynamic.
I think the Rock and Roman thing's been talked about for so long.
It's become sort of no one cares.
Yeah, it's like when you used to go on about Undertaker Sting. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you really want to see it, or do you just think you want to see it?
But it's like the whole Rock and Cena thing. That, to me, felt genuine. That felt like that was a big moment. That was a big match. Rock and Hogan, big match. Like, whereas Rock and Roman, I don't know. I don't know why it just doesn't. When they announced that they were going to do that match, and that was what like the original plan was, I was just like, that's flat for me. And the fans thought that as well. So
yeah,
that's why we're getting what we're getting. Yeah, well, yeah, the fans in the arenas and everything, that's what I mean.
Yeah, let's move on to night two. Opening match, as listed here, is a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth freaking Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre, which, again, has been built quite well. I was watching his promo the other night, and Emma went, "Is he really Scottish?" And I said, "Yeah, he's like just Americanized American his voice." Scottish. And she went, "He just sounds like an American putting on a shit Scottish accent."
Apparently, when he like comes over to like UK and stuff, or like he does like they do a house show in Scotland, his proper accent comes out. Apparently, but I don't know. But I actually think they've built more Drew McIntyre and CM Punk than Drew McIntyre Seth Rollins.
Yeah, they have. Exactly. That's the match you want to see.
Which is weird because everyone wanted to see Seth and Punk, but I'm not bothered about that anymore. I want to see Seth and I want to see Punk and Drew.
Yeah, when they had that three-way promo thing the other week, brilliant. The Seth Punk stuff wasn't that great. It was decent, but it was more the Drew stuff, because you knew he was sort of sat there on the announce table and he's always piping in, and it was good. There's heat there. When he did that Mindy's Bakery thing, close on Mondays and Tuesdays, that was funny as fuck.
He's on fire, honestly. He's one of the best things on Raw at the minute.
Yeah, I agree.
And which is mad because he'd gone a bit flat, hadn't he? The whole
Scottish
Warrior and all that rubbish. It was just flat. It passed its sell by day, but he's reinvented himself, and this heel character's been. And the thing is, it's heel, but it's like almost like there's justifiable heel. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's justified actions in it almost.
The heel's got to believe that he's in the right?
Yeah, but like the whole like thing where he was like, you know, like where he was fuming with Jey Uso because obviously he's cost him so many times with like the world title and stuff. Like that's where it all started. It's just come from there, and I just think that he's just become the most bitter bastard in a bit of, like bitter character. It's just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But
and everyone loves a dour Scottishman.
Yeah, well, these two are good. Seth's good. Be a decent match, I think. It's not gonna be anything to write home about, I don't think, but I think it'll be a good solid.
It's pretty fucking good though.
Do you think? Yeah, I think it'll be a good solid world title match. To be fair.
Next up after that, we've got the WWE Women's Championship, Io Sky versus Bayley. Big fan of Bayley. Mm-hmm. Io Sky, not 100%
the garbage can the missile. Bin.
Yeah.
No, to be fair, this match has got a bit to it, and it's been built for. They've been sort of building this one for a while. The whole like behind the back of Bayley, like ridiculing her and stuff like that, and building her back up. And I like Bayley. You like Bayley? She's a bit fit. It works for me, brother. And Io Sky's all right.
Bailey's mint in the ring, though.
She's good.
You can't say she isn't.
Good. Yeah, she's good in the ring as well. You're right.
Should be a good match, that. Next up, just a standard singles match. Nothing on the line. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. The battle of the abbreviated names.
I think this is one that people were saying was quite flat when it was announced, but it's been built quite... Like the build-up's been quite funny, like the whole like turning up to AJ's house and stuff, and doing like the police cam footage and stuff like that. It's been quite good. like AJ Styles literally went all, yeah, the class, and AJ Styles went all the way to Australia just to fuck his world title chances up, just become an absolute hater. Yeah, I think this could be a good match, a little sleeper match that sort of might just slip under the radar and be sort of almost a show stealer, maybe. AJ Styles is mustard. Brilliant.
Yeah. And yeah, of course.
LA Knight's over as fuck, so can't go wrong.
Speaking of sleeper matches, this could possibly be one, or it could be an absolute spot fest clusterfuck. It's a triple threat match for the US title. Logan Paul, the champ, versus good old Randall Keith and Kevin Owens. Now, we all know Owens likes a spot.
Just a bit.
We all know Logan Paul likes a spot. Yeah. We all know Randy will do some elaborate
RKO.
And Logan Paul's probably one of the perfect people to do that on. It could be fantastic. It could be batshit crazy.
I think it could be quite fun. I reckon this could open it up I think it'd be a good way to open the show. Open the second night.
Yeah, possibly.
Sorry. I don't know if they've got the lineup set, but I think it could be a good way to get the crowd going.
There's like three world title matches though on that the second night. So
that's a good point. One of them will probably
you can't have world title. After that though is what we like to call the filler match.
Just a bit.
Six-man Philadelphia street fight featuring the Pride, which is Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford with B-Fab versus the final testicle, Karrion Kross, Ackerman Razor with Scarlett Bordeaux and Paul Ellering. This is just, again, clusterfuck. Pointless.
Shit. It's going to be shit, this one, isn't it? It's been, why are they still persisting with Karrion Kross, man? He's not good.
No.
No one likes
him. He's fell off a cliff, honey.
He's just not got over. No one's bought into him whatsoever. And they've brought in the Authors of Pain. Fucking hell. Do you remember when they were weren't they fucking people over for bookings at some point on some show they put together a few months back?
In Nottingham, yeah. And Nia Jax was on the card, and it was a case of I will not be here. Do not buy tickets because you think I'm here. Blah, blah, blah. Was, oh, man. Yeah, that was cretinous. What else can you say? And they're a bit shit. Lashley, I like Lashley. Yeah. Street Profits are decent.
Yeah, I mean, it's just getting everyone on the fucking card, isn't it? I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's just not fit. I'm not really. You look at that. That'll be a bathroom break one, that.
I will go and have a nice big turd. I won't be watching it live. I don't think I can stay up again after a rumble. Bloody hell. I fell asleep due after that. Two nights on the bounce, though. It's hard graft staying up till that hour.
I know. It's not the same, though, when you know the results, is it?
I know. I'll just try to keep off Twitter. But then, last match, main event. The big one, undisputed WWE Universal Championship, old Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, stipulation to be determined.
I really wish they'd stop calling it the Universal Championship, don't you? Just get rid of that now.
They don't need two world belts, it's ridiculous.
It's the big one, isn't it? It's, you know, it's 2 years in the making, pretty much.
I agree. I mean, personally, I can see it going like this. The reason why they did two belts was because Reigns was part-time, right? I think.
Yeah.
So, say Cody wins, it transfers to sort of Rock and Roman, and then you have a breakdown in the relationship between Rollins and Rhodes, and then they do a unification match. Because you're going to have a full-time champion then.
Yeah, but then they've got the women's world champion and the WWE women's champion as well, so like they won't do that, I don't think.
But if you're going to do a brand split, have the first night Raw, have the second night SmackDown, but then you've got the floaters. Why have floaters? Don't have floaters. You've got a world champion on Raw, pointless. Have a world champion on SmackDown if you're going to do that.
It is pointless. Yeah. You are right, though. The reason they brought the World Heavyweight title in was because of Roman, and they weren't going to take him off at that point, obviously. But then once you have two world titles for the men, you've almost got to have it for the women as well, haven't you?
Yeah, you have, and I just think it's completely redundant having two world titles. It annoys me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I prefer one world champion, but it is what it is, isn't it? Unfortunately, they'll get back to a point where they unify them again. They always do that
somewhere down the line.
Yeah. I thought the match last year was decent. Hopefully, it's all right. Hopefully, it's a good match. Yeah. Obviously, we don't know at this point what the stips are. Whether it's just going to be straight one-on-one or if it's going to be the fucking no DQ nonsense. Personally, would prefer just one-on-one, but I don't think it'll be that. I think it's going to be the whole bloodline rules.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute cluster, but it'll further a lot of stuff, I think.
I think you've got to do it now, though. You have the title run has to end now. I see loads of people saying, well, if he gets to September, he beats Hogan's reign. It's like, who gives a fuck? Gives a shit?
Yeah, they're not trying to eliminate Hogan out of all, you know, Like, do you remember, like, they were, for a period, they were trying to get rid of Hogan because he's a racist prick, right?
Yeah.
But they're not trying to, like, sweep him under the rug these days. So, like, I don't think they're that bothered. They were trying to get him to beat Punk's because, obviously, Punk was persona non grata for a while. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's stuff like that. But they do it spitefully, I think, a lot of the time. So.
Yeah, I mean, they can't have this title run go on further. I mean, it's been, whether you like him or not, it's been pretty legendary of a title run in the modern era anyway. Yeah. But it has to come to an end.
Yeah, because he's a heel as well. I mean, the rule of thumb was your long title reigns were always your babyface champions in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in the NWA. You know, Flair was champion for fucking forever, and he made people think he was going to get his ass kicked, and then always, you know, sneaked a win. And then obviously there was obviously big baby faces who came in and took it off him, but then he always won it back. That's why he's 16-time or whatever world champion. So it's a case of we'll see what they do. I mean, I can't call it, to be fair. No,
I don't know. That's a good thing, though, isn't it, I suppose? Like,
yeah.
You can't... Well,
this is what we were saying about the Rumble. We couldn't call who was going to win.
Yeah. So you never want it to be predictable, do you? So, like, I like that about it.
And it was for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I just hope they do the right thing. Like, I think it's time to do it now. Because if you don't do it now, then the whole Cody thing I don't know if that momentum continues if he doesn't win it again. I think people will get bored of it. They sort of have to pull the trigger now, I think. But I just hope it's a good match.
If you do Rock and Roll, and it doesn't need the belt.
No, does it, Al? Doesn't. That's what annoyed me about when they did the whole, when they took the belt off Punk that year, because you didn't, because obviously they wanted to do Rock and bloody Cena again. And it's just like, you didn't need to do that.
Didn't need the belt the first time.
No, that's what I mean. It's just frustrating. But I just hope it's the moment, because I think Cody deserves it. He's there all the time. He's the big star. And
he's worked hard to get where he wanted to be.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it, though. You know, there's a few matches on there that, whatever, couldn't give a shit about. But there's quite a few on there where I'm like, yeah, I'm intrigued with that. Even things that I'm not that bothered about, like, I to be honest, I even forgot that triple threat US title match is there. But then we've gone through it again now, and I thought, yeah, there could be some good stuff in there. It could be an absolute mess, but...
yeah, when Owens is in it, it can go either way for me. I mean, I've seen him have cracking top tier matches, and I've seen him just do this bullshit. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't go AEW, because that seems to just be exactly where he, you know, would fit in.
They're all his mates, aren't they? Apparently, yeah. Anyway. To be fair, why would you go there?
you get paid handsomely and get to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, but fuck
just like
that.
Just like we do.
Yeah, get paid handsomely.
Yeah, paid all right. Anyway, yeah. On that note, we will bring this to a close, and we will do our WrestleMania review next week coming up. And then after that, straight onto the Super Brawl. So you've got a 4 month of adjective before we, you know, obviously piss off for a month doing something else, probably.
No, we're back. Standard. We're back for full time now, not part time anymore.
Back once again with the Renegade Master. Yeah, we've not got a Roman Reigns contract. We've got the Cody Rhodes contract. So, as always, if you want to interact with us, it is at Adjective Pod on the Big X. If you want to leave us a rating or review or anything like that on Spotify, give us an Alex Wright dropkick, missile dropkick on that subscribe button, and you can get every episode downloaded automatically. If you want to give us a rating, anything will do. We'll take anything. Anything above 4 is always nice.
Please.
If you want to give us, though, if you do want to give us a 5-star Davey Meltzer, feel free. We'll never say no. So, until Mania, let's hope it's a good one.
Yeah.
And not a pile of dog shit. I mean, probability-wise, I'm pretty sure it's going to be at least 50% good.
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it?
Sitting on the fence there. Right. So if there's no further business, as soon as he's on the card, I'll still say it. Rey Mysterio.
Cheerio.
Oh, my burp still tastes like coriander.